food to the head. Right. That's like. I'm sorry, my shoes are squeaky. Very good. So, someone yesterday was telling me about how much they're annoyed when people have squeaky shoes during talks. So now. Okay, so that's cool. How long, if I want to compute like 2 to the 1,000 or 2 to the 1 billion, how long is this program? I mean, how fast? Like, if I put in like 1 billion here, right? How fast is the length of this program growing? Well, like, if I'm representing this number in binary, right? Like, and computers are representing numbers in binary, then, like, the length of this program is, well, you have, like, this part here, right? I keep that part fixed. And then I change this part and make it longer and longer. And the length of this is, like, log n, where n is whatever I put here, right? So this program has length log n. Okay. And to compute this, what we're using is that exponentiation is repeated multiplication, right? So in order to compute 2 to the n, we can multiply 2 by itself n times. Okay. So let's write a fancier program. Let's do this. This is a pretty fancy program. Well, a slightly fancier program. Okay. Let's say we start result at a, z at 1, and while j is less than n, I'm going to say that the result is the power of, how do I want to do it? A to the result. J equals j plus 1, and then I want to return. So what I'm going to do here is say A to the B I'm going to have a subroutine, right, which computes A to any power, right? So I have like this, I know how to do this, I program my computer to be able to compute any A, any base, any exponent. And then here, I have this thing which calls that power program, right? So what does this compute? If I do like, what do I need to do? Yeah, if I do like, if A is 3 and N is 4, what does this do? It does 3 to the 3 to the 3 to the 3. If I've done this correctly, right? So you see, I compute 3 to the 3. So, like, let's put 3 here and 4 here, right? So I compute 3 to the 3, and then I compute 3 to that, and then I compute 3 to that, right? So this is big. I've written down how many digits this has. So this number has 13 digits. And this number, right, so then I do like 3 to a 13-digit number, right? So this number has 3.6 times 10 to the 12 digits. Right? Approximately, I guess. I don't know, I got this from Wikipedia, but it has that. Right? So you can see like, as I increase, let's say I keep this at 3, right? If I put this at, like, 10, that's huge, right? I mean, that's absurdly huge, right? If I put, like, 100 here, now that's absurdly huge, right? So now we've left the situation where these numbers are ever going to appear as like any amount of things in the real world, right? Like, this is, I don't know, probably more than the number of atoms in the galaxy. So that happens pretty quickly. And you see, what's the length of this program? Well, it's still like log of whatever I put here. This is n, right? So this is big. This number it returns is big, but the length of this program is only like log n, right? Okay.
But
yeah.
How long is the power? The execution of the power doesn't it depend?
You mean how long? So you see, but by length I mean the number of characters I need to write down this program, right? You see, like, if I put this here, I need like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then I also have to count my sum routine, right? And the only thing that's growing as I put bigger and bigger numbers here is this number here, right? Okay. So this is like repeated exponentiation. Some people call it tetration. And then you can do like a general hyper operator thing. So like generalizing this idea of, okay, multiplication is repeated addition, exponentiation is repeated multiplication, tetration is repeated exponentiation. So what's that program look like? Let's write that program down. So we're going to write a program hyper of A, B, K. Okay. And so if K is 1, I want this to be just A plus B. Okay. If K is 1, it's just A plus B. Now, if k is bigger than 1, so like if k is 2, this is going to be multiplication. And the way we're going to write that is we're going to say add a to itself b times. Okay? So otherwise, we're going to say, okay, result is a, j is 1, while j is less than b. We're going to do result is hyper operation of A to the result and K minus 1. So you see, this is like a more general program, right? If k is 1, I just have addition, right? If k is 2, then I do the program for k minus 1 b times, right? So if k is 2, I get a plus a plus a plus b. If k is 3, this is exponentiation. If k is 4, this does what we did here. If k is 5, it does something even crazier, right? And so, you know, if you want to get an absurdly growing sequence of numbers, you know, think about hyper of, I don't know, n, 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 right? Okay. So like, say I put this into my computer, right? I typed in the subroutine, and then I typed print hyper of n and n. Now, this has length, like, L naught plus log n, 3 times log n, right? So where L naught is, like, the size of this, the number of letters in this program, and then the number of letters here, and then I have to add 3 log n, right? Okay. So, those are all pretty big numbers. I don't even know how to guess how many digits this has. You see, like, each of these, yeah, right? So, if, yeah. Is that convincingly big? Right? Like, if 3 to the 3 to the 3 to the 3 had this many digits, right? Then this 3, 3, 3, 3, right, is 3 to a number with that many digits, right? So it'll be like a number with a lot of digits. And it's important here that we're putting the parentheses like this. If we put the parentheses in the other way, they don't grow that fast. So like if I do 3 to the 3 to the 3 to the 3, this doesn't grow as fast. Not as impressive. Okay. So now, those numbers that we talked about are pretty big, but you can write a computer program which computes them, right? Okay, so let's make the more impressive numbers. Have you guys heard of the computer numbers? Maybe a few of you have. Okay, cool. That's awesome. So, you see, let's think about all of the programs that we can write which have less than 100 letters, okay? So let's say C100, right, is the programs which end after some number of time, return a natural number, and have less than 100 letters, right? Whatever we call these bytes, right? So you see, I'm like, that's a finite set, right? There's only finitely many valid programs with only 100 letters. And you see, so I'm like, if I wanted to do this, right, there's only such a big N I could put in here, right? Because I'm counting the size of the representation of N, right? And so what I can ask is, what's the biggest number that they return? Okay? So BB, 100, is the biggest number that a program in this collection of programs returns, right? And of course, you know, I'm not interested in this just for 100, right? I'm interested in this for general numbers. So let's put an N there. So I look over all programs which run for a while, stop, and return a number, and then return, tell you the biggest that they return. Now, do you guys know what the halting problem is? So the halting problem is this. It's like the halting issue. Suppose, you know, you have some programs. You want to know, does this program eventually stop, right? Like if I write down here, like, while you know, let's say J is 1 while J is bigger than 0, J equals J plus 1. Return J. That program never stops, right? You start J at 1, and then you add 1, and then you add 1, and then you add 1, and it's never smaller than 0. Okay. And the halting issue is that you can't write a program which can tell whether another program will eventually halt. Okay? So it's easy in here to see that this will never stop, right? But you could do more complicated things, and I'll show you an example, where it's impossible or like harder to tell whether something stops. And you can't do it in general. So off the bat, it seems like, okay, this is going to be difficult to actually compute this sequence because, you know, one thing you might try is to list all the programs, run them, and see what number they return and find the biggest one of those. But you can't figure out whether they'll eventually stop. Right? So it turns out this is a fact. This sequence grows faster than any sequence you can compute with your computer. Okay. So, what do I mean by you can compute a sequence with your computer? I mean, you can write a routine which takes in a number and returns that element of the sequence, right? So I can compute the exponent, the sequence 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, right? Because I can write that program that I wrote in the beginning, which computes that sequence, right? And I can compute that thing I wrote here, hyper n, right? This is computable. It takes a really long time to compute this for large volume, but it's computable, right? If you have like enough memory in your computer. So why is this? Well, let's see. If f is computable, if fn is computable, right? Okay, so this is proof. Sloppy group. There are better ways to do this, but if f is computable, right, there's some program that f of n will be less than or equal to the busy beaver number of some L naught plus log. Because remember before I was saying I wrote those programs, and like in order to write down something to compute like the hundredth thing, I had to like have my fixed program, which had some fixed length, and then put 100 where n goes. Right? And that so that the length when I put in 100, I add like log of 100 to that. Right? So this immediately tells us that we have this bound, right? Because I can write a program of length L naught plus log n to compute f of n. Right? And then basically you just fudge around with the fact that, well, you can compute log n, you know, to get this better. Fool around a bit. And you can get that after that. for large enough then. Right? Basically, you write a program to compute f of 2 to the n, and then apply this idea to that. There you got it. So that means that these things grow faster than that, like, hyper NNN thing, right? So, right? You know, even the number of digits that these have grows faster than any computable sequence, right? Because if I can compute f of n, I can compute the number of digits of f of n. Okay, so another cool fact about these, another cool thing, well, if you could know these busy beaver numbers, you could solve certain conjectures in, well, an absurdly long number of time, but in finite time, right? So do you guys know? So there's this thing called the Goldbach conjecture.
Goldbach conjecture.
Which is that any even number bigger than 2,
just like n,
bigger than 2 can be written as the sum of 2 primes. So like 4 is 2 plus 2. 8 is 5 plus 3. 20 is 13 plus 7 would work. Okay. And this people don't know whether this is true, and it's like been open for a really long time, and it's super hard. Okay. But suppose that we could know the busy beaver, right? So let's do something, right? You see, I could write a program to search for a counterexample and return it. Right? Because like for any fixed integer, like 1 billion, for any fixed even integer, 1 billion, say, I can find all the primes below 1 billion, try all the combinations of adding them together, and then see if I ever get 1 billion. Right? That's not the most efficient way to do it, but you could think of more efficient ways to do it. Write a program to search for a counterexample and return it. And now this program has some length, right? You see, there's two possibilities. Either this program runs forever, in which case the Goldbach conjecture is true, or it terminates and returns a number which cannot be written as the sum of two primes, right? So, okay, immediately see, if you knew the halting problem, if you could do the halting problem, you would be able to this, but what if we knew this has some length? Right? This program we wrote to search for a counterexample has some length. So if I knew VB of L, right, then I could run my program until it's looking at numbers bigger than L, right? Right? Because it can't return, my program can't return any number bigger than L. Right?
So that's kind of why it would be absurd if we could actually figure these out. Okay. There are certain models, like if you've heard of Turing machines, they're like little models for computing. And people have figured out like the first four busy Beaver numbers for a certain model, right? You see, in all this stuff, beforehand I've like fixed a computer and I fixed a programming language, right? In order to talk about this class of programs. Right? And so people have figured out like the first four busy Beaver numbers for a certain programming language. But after that, it's just impossible, right? Because at some point, you have to prove that some kind of program holds. And so it's just, at some point, that gets really hard. Okay, so this is a really quickly increasing sequence, right? I'm sorry about my squeaky shoes again. So we have this fixed computer, and we've looked at all of the programs it can have with less than n bytes and computed the biggest thing it can return. And that will give us a really fast increase in sequence. And our computer can't compute that sequence, right? But what if we had a ultracomputer, right, which could, right? So let's say, well, maybe I should check this. Let's say I put into my computer a magical function. Which can compute right. So it's a magical function and it takes one input and tells you what are my busy Beaver numbers. Right? Okay. Now how am I going to get an even faster growing sequence? Okay, I could square be the event, right? I could look at, so now I have like new, fast, new, quickly growing. Functions, right? Well, I could do like BVN squared. I could do my hyper function, remember? I could do like hyper BB and BB and BB N. Okay. I could do like BBN of BBN. BB of BB of N. Right? I could define a hyper function based on these busy Beaver numbers, right? I could do like while I could do like this result equals 100, j equals 1, while j is less than n, result equals bb of result. J equals J plus 1. Right? So this takes in some number and computes like BB of BB of BB of N, right? Where they're of 100. I have to start at 100 because, like, if I started at, like, 2, maybe there are no programs of, like, 2 or something, right? Because remember, like, all my programs had, like, return, blah. So that was just, like, a stupid thing. So these are all, like, really, really fast-growing sequences that this supercomputer can compute. Let's call it the ultra-computer. Okay. Now, what can I do better? How can I get a faster growing sequence?
Write a program that finds another derivative. And then you can compute that program?
Right. I can't write a program to do it, even with my ultra computer, right? But I could define that, right? So I could define the ultra BP numbers, right? So I can make the ultra BP n to be the biggest number that an ultra computer program with less than n bytes or letters or whatever computes. Right. So Can I write an ultra computer program to compute ultra BP? Remember the BP numbers grew faster than any sequence computable by my first computer, right? What about the ultra BP numbers?
They grow faster than anything.
But yeah, these grow faster than anything that my ultra computer can compute, right? So ultra BP grows faster than anything my BB computer can compute. Okay. So in particular, my ultra computer cannot compute the ultra BB. They just grow absurdly fast, right? So this is absolutely pretty not useful, right? Because, I mean, these numbers are so useless because they're so big, right? But they're really fun to think about, I think. Right? So, okay, I have this ultra computer and it has the ultra BB numbers. I could make an ultra-ultra computer, right? Which can compute the ultra-BB numbers, right? And I could do like an ultra-ultra-ultra computer, right? So I can do ultra-ultra-ultra-ultra-ultra computer, etc., right? So an ultra-ultra computer, it can compute ultra BB. Right? And then, you know, I can do ultra to the 100 computer and think of this can compute ultra to the 99 BB, right? I could do like an ultra be the of 100 computer. Right? Okay. So now, let's go to the limit, right? Because I want to name bigger and bigger numbers, right? These are all well-defined numbers. Once you choose your programming language, right? Let's say I choose Python, and I'm going to imagine running Python on a computer which has infinite memory, right? Once you fix that, these are all well-defined numbers, right? So I'm actually naming real numbers here, right? Okay. So what about an ultra omega computer? So this computer has a function which can compute BB, the nth BB number for the ultra to the k computer, right? So this has a magical function which computes the nth BB number for the ultra to the k, ultra to the k computer. Right. So that, you know, it's a pretend computer, but you can do like the omega BB numbers, right? So for example, this could, you know, I could write down, well, let's say, have a magical function, let's call it b, b, n, or k, n. We could write down something absurd, right? Like b, 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 of n, k, let's say 10. Right? Okay, so I've just written down an absurdly huge number. So that gets kind of boring after a while, right? But these are big numbers. So let's think about infinite numbers instead. You see, this omega if you want, this is just a definition, right? But what omega means to people is the natural numbers with their ordering, right? So omega is the first infinite ordinal, right? So, what do I mean by an ordinal? Not that much time to talk about. Well, a well ordering. So, a well ordering on a set. It's a relation. Let's say we denote it like that, right? And it has some properties. I don't know, like A less than B and B less than or equal to A. Well, of course, that should mean A equals B. You have like transitivity. A less than C. You have it's totally defined. And the key point is that for any set, every subset of the set which I'm ordering has a least element. So, for example, the natural numbers have a well ordering, but the integers don't have a well ordering. Or they have some well ordering, but the normal ordering of the integers is not a well ordering because the integers don't have a least element, right? And even like this set with usual ordering is not a well ordering. I like the ordering, so that's why I put well in quotation marks. But okay, so in finite sets, every finite set basically has one ordering, kind of, up to isomorphism. So like, if I put like, okay, I like broccoli the least, and then like asparagus, and then carrots, right? You see, this is in isomorphism. With the ordering of the set 0, 1, 2, right? In other words, like, I have this, I can label broccoli with 0, asparagus with 1, and carrots with 2, and the relations are the same, right? And if you have any finite set, that there's basically only one ordering you can put in it, right? You can switch them around, but they all look the same. And the way to like explain how they can be different is with an example of two different orderings on the natural numbers, right? So the usual ordering is like this. I put 0 first, and then 1, and then 2, and then 3, and you know how this goes, right? But let's say I said that 0 was better than any other number. So I do like 1 is less than 2 is less than 3, and so on, and everything is less than 0, okay? So is this a well ordering? Well, it is. You can check. But there's no way to connect these numbers with these numbers so that there's a, you know, there's no way to put a bijection between these two sets so that the order is preserved. Because you see, this guy has a maximum element, right? Whereas this does not. Okay. And the way we usually do this is, let's say, instead, we're going to do this. 0 is less than 1 is less than 2. And then I'm going to make a new element called omega, which is going to be bigger than any natural number. Okay. So this is called omega plus 1. Right? And you see, both of these are countable. Right? But somehow, this is bigger than this. And the way you say that is, well, there's an injection from here to here, which is order preserving. Right? I just go like this. But there's no bijection. Right? So this is less than this. So you see, the cool thing is you can well order well orderings. Right? By saying you can either inject this one into that one or that one into this one. With infinite ones, you somehow reach. So, there's only 3 minutes, but let me show you, let me just show you what omega to the omega is like. And I'm actually going to order the natural numbers so that they have a certain ordering which has inflection properties. Okay. So, well, first let me draw omega plus omega. Omega plus omega looks like this. So what have I drawn? I've drawn a subset of the real line, really. This is some subset of the real line. You see, I've just drawn a bunch of points. I've drawn infinitely many points, countably infinitely many points. And they have a well-ordering on them, okay? You see, any subcollection I draw has a least element. And omega plus omega is like the order type of this. Because you see, I go, I have to go past infinitely many elements before I get to this one. And then I go and go and go and go past infinitely many elements. I can draw omega times omega. Okay? And what's that look like? Well, I should have like omega copies of omega. So this has infinitely many elements. This has infinitely many elements. This has infinitely many elements. So I keep doing this. Okay? So here, I have to go past infinitely many things to get to this one. And then I have to go to infinitely many things to get to this one. Then I have to go past infinitely many things to get to this one. And then I have to go to, right? And in order to get to here, I have to go past infinitely many things, infinitely many times. Okay. So that's omega times omega. And now, let me describe a way to order the natural numbers. Well, I'm going to describe to you omega to the omega two different ways. Right. So you see, you can define these arithmetic operations on these infinite orderings. But I'm just describing to you certain number ones. Two different ways I'm going to describe it. One is by showing you a picture, and I'll let you guys look at this picture after. And the other is by describing an actually interesting ordering on the natural numbers. So what I'm going to do, you see, each natural number has like a prime decomposition, right? You can do like p to the k, like p1 to the k1, you know this stuff, right? Like 12 is 3 times 2 times 2, right? And so on. Okay, 17 is just 17. That's its decomposition. So what I'm going to do is say, well, let's start with 0, and then 1. So here's an ordering on n. And then I'm going to put all the powers of 2. Okay. And then, after all the powers of 2, comes 3. Okay. Now, 3 to any power, 3 to the 1 times any amount of 2s is going to be smaller than 3 squared. So I'm going to have 3 times 2, or sorry, 3, and then 3 times 2, and then 3 times 2 squared, and then 3 times 2 cubed. You see, this goes on. And then I'm going to have 3 squared, and then 3 squared times 2, and then 3 squared times 2 squared, and then I go on forever, okay? And then I'm going to have 3 cubed. And you see, I have to go on forever infinitely many times in order to finish this. Okay? And then I'm done with the 3s. Right? So we're still not very far. We've only gotten up to 5. Right? So now, after I do all those infinitely many lists of things which contain only 3s and 2s, right? See, now I'm done listing all of the things which only contain 3s and 2s. Now I'm going to start listing things which contain 5s. So I have 5, and then 5 times 2, 5 times 2 squared, and so on. 5 squared, 5 times 5 squared times 2, 5 squared times 2 squared, and so on. Infinitely many of these, then I have 5 squared, no, then I have 5 times 2 times 3. Right? So now I'm up to 30. So an exercise is to write down how you would actually compute given two numbers with the prime decomposition, which is bigger, right? If I have like P1 to the K1, P2 to the K2, Pn to the Kn, and then I have like J or Q1 to the J1, Q2 to the J2, Qm to the Jm. What do I do? First, if this guy has a prime which is bigger than any of this guy's primes, this guy is bigger. Right? So first, then if they have the equal number of primes, we compare the power on the bigger prime. Right? And so on and so on. And this has an ordering which looks like this picture. And you can kind of see that, and I'll let you guys know. But that's the end of this. Sorry, I went forward. I'm sorry, that's a weak issue.
Okay. So just about the pizza.